This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
New CDC guidance. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Tuesday, November 30th, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
With an eye on the Omicron variant, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is urging everyone 18 and older to get a COVID-19 booster shot.
A U.S. district judge has blocked President Biden's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in 10 states. Hear his reasons.
The Federal Trade Commission wants information from companies like Amazon and Walmart as it investigates supply chain problems.
And feeling momentum for the midterm elections next year, there's been a surge in interest among Republican candidates running for Congress.
What I'm hearing from people is that big signature bills don't bring out the base of the party in power. Even with President Trump, he assigned the tax cut bill in a 2017. Did it bring the base out in 2018? It didn't. It's very difficult.
Kerry Pickett at the Washington Times on the spike in recruitment for House Republican candidates. Concern, but not panic. That's the message from the White House regarding the new Omicron variant of the coronavirus. That said, the CDC is now recommending that everyone 18 and older get an additional shot after completing a first course of COVID-19 vaccination. Omicron was identified last week by scientists in South Africa who say Omicron cases they've seen are milder and cause different symptoms, notably fatigue. President Biden yesterday.
I'm going to be putting forward a detailed strategy on how to deal with this new variant, and that is not shutdowns or lockdowns, but with more widespread vaccination and more boosters.
Much remains unknown about the new strain, including how infectious it is, its severity, or to what degree it might evade the immune response from, say, prior infection or vaccination. Other variants have emerged and then faded when they were unable to compete with the dominant variant at the time. Currently, more than 99.9% of sequenced cases in the U.S. were linked to the Delta variant. In response to the Omicron variant, the governor of New York and the health commissioner in New York City are advising all residents to wear a mask while in public indoor spaces. Governor Kathy Hochul declared a state of emergency.
Beginning on December 3rd, elective procedures at these short-staffed hospitals will cease, and we'll reassess that again January 15th.
Health Commissioner Dr. Dave Chokshi also said there are currently no confirmed cases of Omicron in New York City, but he anticipates it being detected in the coming days. 1,000 miles to the south, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis spoke out yesterday against the possibility of lockdowns over Omicron concerns.
In Florida, we will not let them lock you down. We will not let them take your jobs. We will not let them harm your businesses. We will not let them close your schools.
In mid-November, Mr. DeSantis signed legislation to prevent local governments and school districts from mandating vaccines or imposing mask mandates. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Is finding seasonal help on your wish list? You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The Omicron variant is pushing companies in a range of industries to consider how safety measures and new workflows created during the peak of the pandemic could be reinstated. It also serves as a reminder that navigating through the unknowns of COVID is a new reality of corporate management. Here's what's being said from Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Chip, what are you hearing?
Well, like many of us, companies are both concerned and confused about what this variant might mean. Many spent the weekend really trying to read up on the variant as much as they could, but a number of companies are sort of reluctant to make changes just yet because we just don't know enough. And so companies, for example, plan to have calls and meetings this week with internal teams and COVID task forces to really look at this. But so far, we haven't seen a lot make changes to travel policies, to office policies. I think many are sort of waiting to see what this really looks like.
Yeah, because I guess the health experts are saying it might take a couple of weeks to kind of absorb this. But I was interested to find out, I guess, the one company said it heard about it and didn't want to notify employees like over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
I thought that was interesting. This company is HubSpot. They make marketing and sales software. And the company's HR chief told me that, you know, given that we are about two years into this pandemic, she said it's really important that companies be careful about how they communicate with employees, how they respond. And she said that not everything needs to be an immediate panic reaction, you know, that can actually do more to alarm employees when there isn't a lot of information known. So HubSpot took the kind of course of just not saying anything to employees. I mean, she just wanted to kind of give them the holiday weekend for those who had it off. And then the company will meet this week. Its internal task force will meet this week to really think about this and to talk more about it. And so I think that's sort of an approach that we're seeing more companies take, just wanting to be thoughtful here, not wanting to do anything that might panic employees.
Are there lessons being learned from the Delta variant?
There are. Many companies sort of learned it after Delta and, of course, after the initial pandemic wave, how to really adapt their operations, whether that meant pushing back office return dates or just sort of changing their processes. And so I think a lot of executives feel more confident now in their abilities to handle any you know, sort of new issues that might arise from this variant because they've dealt with so much already. And so a number of executives, for example, I talked to somebody who runs a bank in Louisiana, and he said that we could go back to drive up customer service, for example, at our bank branches if we needed to do that. I spoke with a trucking and logistics company that said it could go to more social distancing, could have even more folks work at home if it needed it to do so for those who work in its offices. And so I think a lot of executives today sort of have a playbook now. They know what to do. It's a lot different than it was in March 2020.
We're speaking with Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Companies See Omicron Variant as Latest Unknown in a Pandemic Full of Shocks. Are they expecting to, I guess, at this point, that there's just going to be constant change until we fully come to grips with this as endemic?
They do. Many say that this is sort of the new management challenge, the new reality of corporate management, to be ready for any surprises. And I think a lot of companies had sort of hoped that January would be this big sort of return to office date. I've written in previously about, you know, sort of these new questions emerging even before this variant came out, that the companies were sort of wondering if that approach still worked, if they really should go forward with January. And I think a lot of companies now are just kind of a lot of companies know that sort of this is what it's like to run a company through all this, that there are going to be shocks, there are going to be surprises, executives will sort of need to stay on their toes. And I think, many are sort of just kind of grudgingly accepting that at this point and realizing it's just what's required to run a business.
Nice, Chip. Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, a Biden mandate gets blocked. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Cyber Monday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. A U.S. district judge in Missouri has blocked the federal government from mandating COVID-19 vaccinations for healthcare workers in 10 states. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Calling the mandate arbitrary and capricious, the judge's ruling yesterday said regulations handed down by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid earlier this month were issued improperly. He said given the vast economic and political significance of the rule, the agency needed approval from Congress to mandate vaccinations for healthcare workers. Judge Matthew Shelp also argued that the agency lacks evidence showing that vaccination status has direct impact on spreading COVID in the covered healthcare facilities. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The judge said no one questions that protecting patients and healthcare workers from COVID is a laudable objective, but he said the court cannot, in good faith, allow CMS to enact an unprecedented mandate that lacks what he calls a rational connection between the facts found and the choice made. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The CDC has strengthened its recommendation on COVID booster shots, telling all adults they should get an additional dose amid growing concern about the newly identified Omicron variant. The CDC cleared booster doses for all adults earlier this month. President Biden says it's likely the latest variant is upon us.
Sooner or later, we're going to see cases of this new variant here in the United States. We'll have to face this new threat just as we face those that come before.
The FDA could authorize boosters from Pfizer for use in 16 and 17-year-olds as soon as next week.
Number two.
Former President Trump's lawyers will try to persuade a federal appeals court to stop Congress from receiving call logs, drafts of speeches, and other documents related to the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, led by his supporters. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit will hear arguments today from lawyers for Trump and the House Committee seeking the records as part of its investigation into the riot. Either side is likely to appeal to the Supreme Court.
Number three.
Prosecutors in Pennsylvania have asked the U.S. Supreme Court to review a lower court's ruling that overturned the sexual assault conviction of Bill Cosby. The 84-year-old had served about 3 years in prison after being found guilty in 2018 of drugging and sexually assaulting a Temple University staff member more than a decade ago. But the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled in June that a non-prosecution agreement with a prior prosecutor should have precluded Cosby from being criminally charged in the case. He was released from prison on June 30th. The Federal Trade Commission is investigating the causes behind ongoing supply chain disruptions and how they are causing hardships for consumers and harming competition. The FTC is ordering Walmart, Amazon, Kroger, and other large wholesalers and suppliers to turn over information to help study causes of empty shelves and sky-high prices. And no surprise here, Merriam-Webster has declared vaccine as its word of the year. The selection follows vax as word of the year from the folks who published the Oxford English Dictionary. Merriam says lookups for vaccine soared 600% over 2020, when the year of the word of the year, also not surprisingly, was pandemic.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Prolonged exposure to high inflation can have a lasting effect on people's financial decision making. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch, has a look at new research. Andy, what are we learning?
So I was thinking about some of the latest data on inflation, which in October, the pace of inflation hit a more than 30-year high. And I was thinking about what that's doing to the ways that we think about buying stuff right now. And does it kind of increase our anxiety? And does it, you know, I mean, we all have... We know how much a gallon of gas costs, or what a trip to the grocery store would be, but how are we feeling about it these days? I talked to one woman who put off some big picture, like a driveway repaving. She put it off because the quote she got now was $2,000 more than it was 2 years ago. Oh. A painting job that increased. If you came to her house, she'd love to say, hey, can I get you, something to eat? You know, she likes to feed people, but when she goes to the grocery store, she can't, she doesn't want to splurge on those things anymore. So it kind of translates into this little minor pang of nervousness or anxiety because she can't do the thing she wants to do because she's conscious about the price because of inflation. So anyway, that's it. Just thinking about that and how scarcity kind of does things to our brains and our wallets.
Is that a permanent thing that then happens to us?
It's going to be an open question on what this might do, but there's been some studies at least that have shown that people who live through prolonged periods of inflation, it does kind of seep into their mindset. This one study was looking at people who did that, and they showed a greater likelihood to get a mortgage with a fixed rate versus a variable rate. You think about it, it makes sense. I mean, they've seen prices going up, and they want a sure bet on what their interest is going to be and what the principal is going to be. So it can kind of get into our ways of thinking.
We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. She's written an interesting story that's entitled, "This Is Your Brain on High Inflation, Scarcity and Financial Anxiety." There was sort of a distinction, too, between people who have experienced inflation before and those who are first timers, right, and how they think about this.
Right. And that's going to be interesting now. Like, you know, kind of some of the biggest inflation from, I think the Fed was saying from mid-60s and then really the 70s and then to the early 80s. And then we've been in low inflation. And what happens now for people who live through it right now? How do they, you know, how are they going to deal with it? And how are they going to deal with it as we rebound from a pandemic, which wasn't happening back in the early 80s? You know, it's also interesting to think about some of the retail sales data that came out this week and shows that people are still really spending a lot, but they might just not be getting as much bang for their buck.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Start your day smarter. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome to Tuesday, November 30. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. CDC urging all adults to get the COVID booster with an eye on the Omicron variant. A judge blocks the Biden administration vaccine mandate for some healthcare workers. Jack Dorsey has stepped down as CEO of Twitter, effective immediately. New York Attorney General says CNN anchor Chris Cuomo had a larger role than previously known in defending his brother, the governor of New York, during his sexual harassment scandal. College football Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame for LSU. And how Christmas music can stress you out. That story in about 20 minutes. The growing confidence that Republicans have about next year's midterm elections is attracting a stampede of new GOP candidates for House races. Kerry Pickett, senior congressional reporter at The Washington Times, says nearly 1,000 Republicans had filed candidacy papers in 379 House districts across the country. Kerry, take us through it.
Absolutely. And even before I set that scene, I'm just going to just give some interesting news here that sort of parlays into my piece. We now know that Congressman Tom Suozzi, he's a Democrat from New York, he just announced a run for the governor of New York. So that means that House Democrats, they have more retirements than they did in 2010 when they lost 63 seats. So what's interesting here is that in 2010, 17 Democrats retired before the midterms. That means 18 have retired this year before the midterms. And 63 Democrats lost seats in 2010. That's something to think about going into this whole issue. So now you have House Republicans who are having a huge recruitment spike as they go into 2022. What we're seeing here is that nearly 1,000 Republicans, they have filed candidacy papers in 379 of the 435 House districts across the country. Now about 196 are women and 179 are veterans. But the interesting thing is that this is a spike from last year because they had about 842 GOP candidates enter the race around this time. And this is something that the Republicans really see as enthusiasm, because usually we talk about voter enthusiasm. This has a lot to do with candidate enthusiasm, because they see a great chance of taking back at least the House majority.
Okay, so this is largely a lot of people want to be associated obviously with winning, they think the odds are greater than perhaps in a typical year?
Oh, absolutely, because they are looking not just at the at the 2020 midterm cycle, which was extraordinarily successful on the congressional side, specifically on the House side, but they're looking at the 2010 cycle when the Republicans had recaptured the majority from the Democrats. What I'm hearing from people is that big signature bills don't bring out the base of the party in power. Even with President Trump, he assigned the tax cut bill in a 2017. Did it bring the base out in 2018? It didn't. It's very difficult for these big signature bills to do that.
We're speaking with Kerry Pickett, senior congressional reporter at The Washington Times. Her piece is called House Republican Candidate Recruitment Spikes. So you referenced before Mr. Swazi in New York, and I'm curious, these increased retirements, is it people sick of politics, lack of faith in President Biden, uncomfortable with the idea that 2022 could be a total wipeout? What's happening here?
Well, what we're seeing, of course, has a lot to do with how the economy is going. People are seeing gas prices through the roof. And also what we're seeing here is an issue with a crime. A lot of it has to do with the straw that have broke the camel's back. But also, keep in mind that, when you have a president that goes into the midterms that with a job approval rating below 50%, chances are 9 times out of 10 they are going to, at least their party is going to lose the majority.
Thanks, Kerry. Kerry Pickett, senior congressional reporter at The Washington Times. Coming up next, where a peanut butter donation gets you out of a parking ticket. So the year plus of remote meetings is ending, right? Time to get back to the office. So about that beard. If you've realized the scruffy look that worked on a webcam isn't fitting the all business look you're trying to get back to, don't worry. Harry's can help. Harry's crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable, weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick and, believe it or not, enjoyable. And refill blades start as low as $2. New customers can get started with Harry's with a starter set, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover, usually $13 for just $3. The starter set and the incredibly close shave convinced me right away to switch to Harry's. I've been using Harry's for years. I think you'll love it too. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get the special offer. H-A-R-R-Y-S. harrys.com/deal.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it seems that we have to keep an eye on the deer this time of year, as we seem to be hearing a lot about the animals breaking and entering lately. The latest comes from New Hampshire, where police have released a sketch of an antlered suspect wanted in connection with a burglary at a school. The Barnstead Police Department took to Facebook over the weekend, posting a police sketch of the alleged perpetrator and writing, "Wanted, the reindeer burglars." Police said they responded to a report of a broken window at the school and were surprised to discover a 10-point buck inside the school lobby. Officers called for backup and firefighters arrived to help capture the intruder. Police joked that the buck is part of an organized crime group breaking into buildings around the state.
This happened in Wisconsin, like somewhere in the Midwest a week or so ago?
I think it was Michigan. I feel like it was Michigan, and it was like the first day of hunting season.
Yeah.
Right. No, this seems to be a thing that's happening around the country. We have to keep an eye on this. Yeah. You know, we have to keep an eye on a lot of things these days, but the deer are among them.
Well, deer, I mean, in the deer network, apparently, have texted each other, communicated in some way, shape, or form. They're going indoors to public buildings like schools or libraries are an ideal place to hide during hunting season.
Yes, it is a coordinated effort that's circulating the country.
In this case, perhaps they were looking for unsent letters to Santa Claus, perhaps for personal delivery?
Sure. I'm sure that's what they said to police.
That was their defense.
That's what their lawyers said. Yeah, because this time of year, if you're a deer, you can sometimes get away with things.
Got it.
And if you park where you're not supposed to at New Mexico State University, there's a tasty way out of having to fork over your money to pay the fine. Peanut butter. The university will accept at least 80 ounces of peanut butter, the equivalent of 5 or 6 small jars, as payment for a citation for parking without a permit. Donations will be accepted through this Friday and will go to a food pantry serving the campus community. You do have to keep in mind that donated peanut butter will only cover 1 citation per person, so you can't wheel in a wheelbarrow full of Skippy to pay off 20 tickets. The deal also does not apply to other types of parking citations and violations.
Oh.
So there are some strict rules here.
So no other, so like moving violations. So you can't just keep like 6 cases of peanut butter in the backseat of your car and say, sorry, officer, I know it's going 85 in a 60.
Yeah.
Here's a case.
Right. I'm going to pop the trunk. Yeah. You can just take what you need, close the trunk, and then I'll be on my way.
Right. Take the equivalent of running a stop sign, please, from my trunk.
I mean, yes.
Doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I kind of like this idea because I think I have 5 or 6 jars underneath my desk right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could park anywhere I want, if, theoretically, today, and I'll be all set.
At New Mexico State.
At New Mexico State, sure. But I'm hoping they adopt this somewhere here in New Jersey,
too. It's actually clever. I like the idea for this, for the food pantry. Thank you, Mike. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. A new study finds that going to sleep between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. is associated with a lower risk of developing heart disease compared to earlier or later bedtimes. The findings are in European Heart Journal, Digital Health. While scientists have investigated the link between sleep duration and cardiovascular disease, Axios says the relationship between sleep timing and heart disease is largely underexplored. Compared to sleep onset from 10 to 11 p.m., there was a 25% higher risk of cardiovascular disease with a sleep onset at midnight or later. It seems earlier is no help either. Researchers found a 24% increased risk for falling asleep before 10 o'clock. The study author said the riskiest time was after midnight because it may reduce the likelihood of seeing morning light, which resets the body clock. But Stanley Wong, medical director at the Sleep Disorder Center at the Heart Hospital of Austin, told the American Statesman that the key is not what time you go to bed, but that your habits are consistent. This portion of the program is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. The holidays are around the corner and finding the perfect gift is tricky. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift. I have been sending Omaha Steaks and grilling Omaha Steaks for years. I've had them at home with the family, with friends in a backyard cookout, even sent Omaha Steaks to my parents in time for me to arrive and cook them at their home. Need a unique gift idea this holiday season? Go to omahasteaks.com, enter Gordon in the search bar to order the perfect gift package. For $99.99, you'll get 24 entrees like the world-famous bacon-wrapped filet mignons. When you use code Gordon, you'll also get an additional 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free with your order. We've all heard about reports, too, about shortages and shipping delays, right? So don't wait. Order the perfect gift package today at omahasteaks.com, and you'll get 8 free burgers when entering the code Gordon. Achieve gifting greatness with Omaha Steaks. Incredible flavor, incredible value, 100% guaranteed. omahasteaks.com, keyword Gordon. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Gordon. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the 3 big things you need to know. Number 1.
President Biden says he doesn't expect the U.S. to impose additional travel restrictions to stem the spread of the coronavirus Omicron variant.
I'm going to be putting forward a detailed strategy on how to deal with this new variant. And that is not shutdowns or lockdowns. But with more widespread vaccination and more boosters.
Airline and aerospace stocks skidded on Friday after several countries reported cases of the variant and established new travel restrictions.
Number 2.
Moderna CEO says current vaccines for COVID-19 will likely be much less effective against the new variant. He told the Financial Times he believes there will be a material drop, but the extent of the drop isn't yet known because more data are needed.
Number 3.
A federal judge has blocked the Biden administration from enforcing a coronavirus vaccine mandate on thousands of healthcare workers in 10 states that had brought the first legal challenge against the requirement. The preliminary injunction by St. Louis-based U.S. District Judge Matthew Schlupp applies to a coalition of suing states that have either a Republican attorney general or governor. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered an investigation into a 2019 U.S. strike in Syria that killed dozens of people, including women and children, but that wasn't publicly acknowledged by the military until this year. General Michael Garrett, who is in charge of Army Forces Command, will lead the inquiry and will look at the number of civilians killed, whether the U.S. complied with the laws of war in launching the attack, how the military records such events, and whether anyone should be held accountable for the deaths. Testimony set to begin today in the trial of ex-Empire actor Jussie Smollett, who prosecutors say staged a homophobic and racist attack in Chicago, but whose defense attorneys say is a real victim of a real crime. Prosecutors told jurors during opening statements yesterday Smollett recruited two brothers to help him carry out a fake attack in January of 2019 because he believed the television studio didn't take hate mail he received seriously. One of the first coins minted in colonial New England, which was recently found among other coins in a candy tin, has sold at auction for more than $350,000. The silver coin made in Boston in 1652, considered the finest example of just a few dozen such coins known to still exist, was sold to an anonymous bidder from the U.S.
One coin, $350,000.
In a candy tin.
Candy tin. Thanks, Jen. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Cyber Monday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. As you know, for many people, the holidays are stressful, and those feelings can be compounded by Christmas music, except that song from The Waitresses. Though there hasn't been any intensive research on the topic, a few surveys in the last decade have found that some portion of Americans don't really like Christmas music. An often-cited Consumer Reports survey from 2011 found that 23% of respondents said they dread seasonal music around the holidays. Another survey found 16% of retail staff say Christmas music dampens their emotional well-being. Dr. Elaine Rodino in State College, PA, told Fox News that Christmas music stresses some people because it reminds them of a bad memory or negative experiences from childhood. Best fix, put on headphones or earbuds and play your own music. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.